With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay authenticity guaranteed. Visit ebay.com for terms.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Fantasy Bros Football Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Harris, and it's a happy day for me today because the first time in, feels like forever, the three of us are here, Mike Tagliere and Kyle Yates. You can find us on Twitter at DanHarris80, at Mike Tagliere NFL, and at Kyle Y NFL. Boys, how are you today?
Good. I'm just hoping your kids make an appearance on the podcast today. If you guys was tuned in for the Sunday morning live stream, Dan's kids were like the stars of the show.
So usually I let them, I made a deal with them when I realized I was going to be hosting 8 podcasts a week and 2 live streams, because it used to be like, oh, dad's hosting the Sunday night podcast. Everything stops. No right. Talking. Okay. It's crazy. And then I was like, I can't do this to them. Like, this is their whole life is just to be dopes. So I said, okay, if you guys need to come in, especially on a live stream, it's fine. And I was talking to you guys before that. I like the strategy. I'm not going to lie, because when they come on, people, it's hard for them to be mean when you have a little dude right next to me and a little girl on my left shoulder and they're just talking nonsense. It's really hard for people to get too mad at whatever advice you're giving. So I was telling you guys, it's not a bad strategy if you want to try that out on Sunday mornings. I'm just saying, especially since you're struggling with your voice. Yates, how you doing? You missed last week for most of our podcast. We missed you.
I'm back. I'm somewhat back. My voice is still a little wavering. I'm like literally like sucking down on a cough drop right now, like because I've been hacking all morning. So that's just a glimpse into what my week has been like for the past week and a half. But No, I'm here. I'm excited to chat with you guys. Literally, I was like a kid on Christmas morning. Like, I'm just so excited to talk to you two because I haven't done that for so long. So I'm ready.
Well, we're bound to let you down.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. You.
Yep. Well, I would expect nothing less.
Yes. Right. Yeah. Well, look, this is a good show. And the reason really is because I was thinking about last week, we were all over the place. And this is why it's good to have the three of us talking about it. We were very different on how we viewed the pickups last week. We do our consensus article. You guys should check it out. It's at Fantasy Pros. They tweeted out from the main account a couple of times. If we update our waiver wire rankings, it automatically updates in there so you can see them. But we were different about Mike Davis. I mean, Yates, you were bearish on whether or not you should pick him up. I was not really excited about Devonta Freeman, even when he came out late and stuff like that. So it's good for us to get three. Hopefully we'll get some disagreement, but also some consensus so we can give fantasy managers some solid advice. So look, today is waiver wire day. That's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be talking about our waiver wire pickups. But if you really want to do it right, you should check out our waiver assistant. It's over at fantasypros.com/myplaybook. Identify the top players to add in your league, view the percentage of experts who would add that player to your roster, and get a detailed analysis of the impact of any free agent pickup would have on your team. Now, Waiver Wire, our waiver assistant, just one of the many amazing features in our My Playbook tools that's available to our premium members. We've got a great offer for you today to get our highest premium tier for the rest of the season free. Just go to fantasypros.com/offers. Again, go premium for free at fantasypros.com/offers. All right, so game plan for today. As I said, it's all waiver wires. We are going to talk about the notable waiver wire pickups by position. We'll start with running back, wide receiver, quarterback, and tight end. Then we'll talk about our top 5 overall. Then we're going to give our top QB and DST streamers for week 4. And then we're going to do drop or keep, because I feel like there are a lot of fringe guys and tags. A couple of them we talked about last night on the Sunday Night Show, which you can watch again if you missed it. You can go to youtube.com/fantasypros. We live stream it, so you can watch it live, but you can also watch it now. Yates, I'm going to ask you about a couple of guys that Tags and I were like, do we drop this guy now? So I'm going to keep those guys even separate because I got a lot of guys who, look, we're in week four, okay? I got a team that's staring down 0-3 unless I can somehow keep Lamar Jackson. We got to make some tough decisions, so let's get into it. But first, let's start with running back here. To me, there are two guys who lead the way. Let me start with Tags, okay? Tags, who is your top running back to pick up this week?
It was Jeff Wilson, and if you guys read my article on Saturday mornings that comes out, or even check the waiver wire rankings last week, you guys would have had Jeff Wilson on your roster because Dan and I argued about him. And granted, Dan's process was actually correct in terms of McKinnon getting more of the touches, but fortunately there was enough to go around for both of these guys. But Jerick McKinnon suffered a rib injury in that game. It just goes further to show that Jerick McKinnon is not built to handle a giant workload. Even if Jerick McKinnon is active this week, I believe it's going to be more of a 50-50 timeshare, and Jeff Wilson is the one who's probably going to see the majority of goal line touches considering that rib injury. So Jeff Wilson is my number one waiver wire ad.
So let me ask you a question, Tex. Are you just absolutely assuming that Raheem Mostert's out? Because it's a really mild sprain. There was talk that he could even be back this week, but you're just assuming he's out.
With an MCL sprain, I mean, I don't know how you come back after 1 week. I don't know how that happens. You know, like MCL, what they call an MCL sprain is actually a tear. It's just how bad is that tear? And I don't know if that heals on anybody, you know, in 1 week. It's not to say that he can't play through it, but why push it back when you have other running backs who have proven to be competent? I guess I shouldn't assume that he's automatically out, but I don't think he's going to play this week.
All right. How about you, Yates? Is Wilson your number one for running backs?
No, I have Wilson at two. And the reason, I mean, I agree with a lot of Tex's points. I don't think Raheem Mostert comes back for this week. I think at least one more week, right, for him to sit out. And then we might be talking about him coming back, you know, the week after that. But the reason why I don't have Wilson at one is not because he went 12 for 15 on the ground. Like he's always been able to find the end zone. That's not a concern. It's the matchup next week, particularly. Right. So this is not a situation where he's a long-term solution, right? Because we were talking about Raheem Mostert coming back. How severe is McKinnon's injury? We don't know yet, but it's the matchup against the Philadelphia Eagles defense that just shut down Joe Mixon. So I just think that I'm not super confident in rolling out a guy who went 12 for 15 against a really, really stout defense. So that's why he's at two, though. I still think he needs to be added.
And who's number one for you? Is it Hyde?
It's Carlos Hyde. Based on the news that we got before recording that Chris Carson is a 1 to 2 week injury is what he's looking like. So I doubt he plays in this next game. Seattle doesn't need him to win this matchup. Russell Wilson's going to throw for 7 touchdowns in this one. Like, you know,
They're against Miami.
Yes, for context. Yeah, they're against Miami. So I think Carlos Hyde, for him to step in, Rashad Penny's not coming back yet. You have DJ Dallas and Travis Homer on the roster behind him. Carlos Hyde's going to get the majority of the work here. 15 carries and opportunity to score in this one. Yeah, I'll take Carlos Hyde.
Okay, I'm going to follow up on a couple of questions with both of you, but first, Tags, is Hyde your number two?
He is, and you can make the case where he's number one. It just depends on what you assume about Mostert. And as for Hyde, James Coe from he does NFL Next Gen Stats, and he had a stat before the season saying that Carlos Hyde, the type of runs that he succeeded on the most are the ones that the Seahawks run the most, where he said that it was like a match made in heaven, where it's like if anything ever happened to Chris Carson, that Carlos Hyde would actually succeed in this run scheme. So I know they're allowing Russ to cook and all that stuff, but the matchup against Miami is a much better matchup. So if you're looking for a one-week replacement, I'd probably say that Carlos Hyde might be the better option.
All right. So let me give a couple of my thoughts because, you know, not to disappoint anyone, but we're basically all in lockstep on this one. I do have Wilson as my number one, but it's a very 1A, 1B situation with Hyde. I don't have a particularly strong preference on which one you go after if you need a short-term replacement. The one thing I will say is that I feel pretty confident that Carson is going to miss 2 weeks. And the reason is they have their bye coming up after 2 weeks. So they've got Miami, they've got Minnesota. They're probably going to win both games pretty handily, you would assume. And if so, there's really no reason to push Chris Carson. That's especially true as the running game becomes less and less important as a part of their offense. Russ is cooking and whatever he's cooking, I'm eating. I mean, it's very, very good. They don't need to worry about it that much. I think for me, if you're going long term, I do think Wilson, because I do think that there is a possibility, and I want to know what you guys think about this, that Wilson carves out a bigger long term role. I don't know how long Tevin Coleman's going to be out, but he's on IR. I don't know if it's a, you know, I don't remember the exact timeline. It could be longer than that. Wilson it, you know, has talent. Tags, you had it nailed last week. It's just that McKinnon, I mean, it's his first game back and already he's dealing with an injury. Yeah. He didn't have that many touches. He is a guy who Mostert has dealt with injuries in his career. He has a chance if he can show, you know, more than the 12 for 15 on the ground. He got it done in the air a little bit. If he can show, he can carve out a bigger sort of role in this San Francisco offense. Because as we talk about all the time, Kyle Shanahan wants to rotate backs as much as possible. I don't think he wants to do it where Raheem Mostert is really leading the way. So let me get a fab percentage of you right now. I guess, first of all, are whichever one's your top running back, Hyde for you, Yates, and Wilson for you, Tags, are they your top waiver wire pickup of the week? Like overall, not yes. just running back.
Yes, top they are. Hyde yeah. is, yep.
For you, Tags, is Wilson your top of the week?
Yeah, well, and by the way, after talking and Yates making some points that he did, this is why I always like talking with you guys in the podcast. Like just looking at those matchups and thinking like short term, because I don't think Jeff Wilson is a long term solution either. Because again, Mostert will be back. Yep. And I think you're right, Dan, in terms of him carving out a role as the season goes on with Tevin Coleman out 4 to 6 weeks or whatever it is. But Carlos Hyde could potentially be a 2 week starter in the matchups yep. that they have if Chris Carson's out. So I'm actually going to go Hyde. I'm going to move him in my rankings. So kudos to Yates on this one. I will say that I'd be willing to go if you're one of those teams that's struggling, like you have Christian McCaffrey and you didn't get Mike Davis or something like that. I think you should be willing to go 20-25% for Hyde.
Yeah,
this is how about the happiest. This is the happiest day of my life.
And to be clear, can we just make it clear that it was more my point about the fact that they have the bye coming up in 2 weeks, and so it's probably a 2 week. No, okay, fine. We'll give Yates. Yates, what percentage of your fab would you add? It, wait, hold on. Text just to be clear. You said 20-25% on Hyde. How about Wilson?
That's where I had him. I actually had him at like 15. Mm-hmm. And you know, thinking about the short term replacement, 15-20 is where I'd say Wilson belongs.
Okay. All right. Yates, fab. What do you got for those?
It's two the
guys?
Exact same. It's the exact okay. same for me. 20-25 for Hyde if you are especially desperate at running back, and then 15-20 for Wilson.
Yeah, I think that that's in the range. I think I'm probably more at the 20% range for both. I don't have a strong preference for Hyde because I do think that Wilson is going to be a startable option for you next week. It is a bad matchup, but I think it's the 49ers. They can figure out a way to involve Wilson enough. So I've got 20% on both. Right now, I still have Wilson as my one, Hyde as my two overall, not just with running backs. But they're, again, 1A or 1B, and I'd be 20% yep. max on each one of them. But it is something, and this is, guys, I mean, we don't talk about this all the time, but we did kind of reference it last week. This year, more than ever, given all the injuries that are coming, and this week wasn't even a terrible week for injuries, but there are a lot that are coming down. The short-term play is the much more important play, which is why I loved Mike right. Davis last week. And I said 30-35% on Mike Davis, because he's a guy who you knew was going to get all that work early on, or at least we thought was going to get all that work early on. So you're willing, and this is with your fab bids, you agree that you're basically willing to spend maybe more than you would with a guy who's, you know, Hyde's shelf life is almost certainly 2 weeks tops, right? Because mm-hmm. Chris Carson could be out for the next 2 weeks.
Rashad Penny is going to be due back soon. Back.
Yep. Right, exactly. And they've got to buy. So once you get to Arizona in whatever week that is, 7, then, you know, Hyde's going to have very little utility at that point, but you're still willing at this point to spend 20.
It's a rental player, basically, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, right? Good, very good. All right, before we keep going, guys, let's talk about Owner's Box and the new wave of fantasy sports. Now, some of you listening love the strategy of season-long fantasy sports. Some of you listening love the short-term gratification of DFS. We'll be the first to merge them and try weekly fantasy sports with Owner's Box. Owner's Box legitimately changes the way you play fantasy sports for the better. You compete with your opponent over 7 days of fierce competition, and you get paid out weekly. And unlike the salary cap with daily fantasy sports, Owner's Box has created a first-to-market rule set that revolves around a set number of game opportunities by roster position. So your players earn you points throughout the week, but only if you have enough games available at your position. Also, Owner's Box is a community. It's not just the constant live drafts that they offer or the new strategy that you need to learn. It curates a community amongst its users and allows them to engage socially in multiple different ways. You can add friends, you can create groups, you can earn free rewards through their first ever three-tiered referral system. Tags and I have done a bunch of contests on it. If you've listened to us before, we have a private messenger system where the dude just talks smack nonstop. It is hurtful, but it is a ton of fun. Just go to ownersbox.com/fantasypros, sign up for their exclusive beta right now. Each user who signs up now will receive 100 Owner's Bucks that can be used to enter contests risk-free and will convert to cash when real money contests begin. Again, that's ownersbox.com/fantasypros. Okay, other running backs. Yates, who's next on your running back list, and is this a person that you think fantasy managers should be adding?
The next person's Rex Burkhead.
Yeah.
But you can add him, but I don't know if you necessarily want to rely on him for anything more than a week. Like Burkhead, his involvement in this offense was primarily through the air, right? He didn't get a ton of done on the ground. Three touchdowns, we can't deny that. And there are going to be people that are listening to this that want to spend like all of their fab on Rex Burkhead. I guarantee it, because they see three touchdowns and they're going to go crazy. But this is still the New England Patriots backfield. Like this is still the backfield that has so much volatility week in and week out. Yes, all running backs went ridiculous last week. Sony Michel with, what, 8 for 117 off the top of my head? Like, just ridiculous efficiency. That's not going to happen every single week, okay? And the scoring opportunities are still very minimal. And that's not even taken into account that we don't know when James White is going to come back. James White might roll up to the facility on Thursday. And then there goes Rex Burkhead's opportunity. So if you spend 50% of your fab, even 30%, like, I just think that is so much invested in a running back that I don't feel comfortable with, because you could be left sitting there going like, okay, well, I just spent all this money and now I can't start Rex Burkhead.
Yeah, and don't forget there's another Patriots running back that should be coming back soon. But tags, I mean, first of all, yeah, it's give me the percent fab percentage. Okay, you miss out on Wilson, you miss out on Hyde. What you're a running back needy team? How high are you willing to go on Burkhead?
If I'm a running back needy team.
Well, let's go here, okay? Because there is always a scenario where you're like, oh gosh, somebody in one of my leagues started P. Ryan this week. So you've got different scenarios. And that point, you're like, oh my God, give me Rex Burkhead, please, somebody. But if you're at a point where you're not desperate, it's not like you need definitely somebody to start, but you are looking for running back depth. You are short on running back depth. Where are you going there?
15 max.
Ugh. Yeah, I'm lower than that too. I agree. Yeah, and that's the thing.
That's this my max. And you're saying like for a running back needy team, right?
Right.
Like that's...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm not even I didn't mean to hold that against you. Yeah. I don't think that was like that answer.
I just want to throw up. I just want to throw up because it's Rex Burkhead for 15% of that.
But remember Myles Gaskin, guys? Remember that?
To be fair, even if we were doing it today, I still wouldn't get 15% for Myles Gaskin.
Ridiculous. Fair. I'm just kidding. That's fine. Okay. Texas Rex Burkhead, your number three.
No, I have Damian Harris as my number three running back because, yep. I mean, it's about that goal line role. And Sony Michel, I know he had a big game, but Damian Harris was the guy that was pushing him for his job through training camp. And they were talking about that he could potentially start the year as the 1-2 down back. And, you know, I don't think that one performance against the Raiders changes that. The Raiders are one of the worst teams in the league when it comes to stopping running backs. So, you know, the fact that he only had 8 carries shows that they really don't trust Sony Michel anymore. I think he's lost the trust in that coaching staff and that Damian Harris is going to have a role. But in the end, I'm not spending more than like $2 on someone like Damian Harris, because the Patriots running backs, you don't want to roster them. I have Rex Burkhead in one league where I picked him up this week and I had to start him. If anybody wants to give me anything useful for him, I will give him away like happily, because once James White comes back to this team, his value goes in the dump. But again, we have to pay attention to Damian Harris and whether or not he's going to be ready to play this week, or if he's going to remain out, if James White's back with the team, because there could be a 1 week value for Rex Burkhead. I just don't see it.
Yeah, that's where I have Burkhead at 8%, a very precise number. This is where I'm looking. I'm like, oh, all right, what's up? I'm not spending 10% of my budget on Rex Burkhead, but if I desperately need somebody for this week, Burkhead's a good player. He fits what they need to do. He factors into the passing game, and you've got Kansas City next week. I think if you desperately need somebody for this week coming up, that's why I'm at 8%, but no other running back on my list. And I have Harris fifth, actually. I have Brian Hill fourth, which we'll talk about. Mm-hmm. Both those guys are 1% of your budget guys. Those guys are like, all right, fine, if I've got to do something. Burkhead might be a guy who I think could factor in potentially next week. And again, you are week to week at this point. You are just trying to survive, do what you can. We're not even at bye weeks yet, so I don't know what we're going to do when we get there, but for now, do what you need to do to survive. So Burkhead is an 8% max guy for me. Exact number, 8%. Figure that out. If it's like a percentage of it, you've got to do it. Like, okay, I'll bid $17.38. That's exactly how much you bid. Yates, do you like Harris fourth, or is there another guy on your list?
I do have Harris fourth, but it's not anything crazy. Yeah. I'm not looking at anything necessarily like looking at adding any of these guys past Rex Burkhead. And you heard it in my voice. Like, I'm not even super excited about adding Rex Burkhead. So like all these guys, again, we're talking about in the context of anything more than an 8-person league, right? Like again, your running back depth has just been decimated with these injuries, and you need production week in and week out. You can't be adding this guy who could potentially be a stash down the road. So I just don't think Harris, even if he comes back, there's too many mouths to feed. I don't think that he is going to suddenly come in and be the main guy, and he's not going to get goal line work because it's going to Cam Newton. So I'm just not super excited about any of these guys. I have Frank Gore still somehow on this list. I really don't care. Like, you know, that's just where
I will pay someone. I will pay someone fab money to take Frank Gore off my roster at this point if I had. But let me ask you guys, what about Brian Hill? He's a guy tags. We mentioned it last night. You were not excited about what you saw from Todd Gurley, even though he got into the end zone. Gurley had 35 snaps. The Falcons talked about getting Hill more involved. He had 23 snaps, 10 touches, 80 yards in the score. Is Hill not a guy who you're even thinking about adding?
No, he's a stash. He's someone that I don't want to spend any more than like $2-3 on him in fab. But if you could stash him on your bench, I don't think it's a bad idea. I think the Falcons coaching staff is about to get fired. They can only fire so many coordinators before Dan Quinn loses the job. And I don't know what that's going to look like. Are they going to go to Dirk Cutter as the interim head coach? I don't know, but it could allow for some other input because Todd Gurley is he's only on a 1-year deal with that team. It's not like they have a long-term commitment to him. If he's not playing very well, and he's not, he looks terrible. I mentioned it on the podcast last night. He looks like a 30-year-old running back that's just kind of going through the motions. He's not creating any yardage for himself. Whereas Brian Hill scored on a long run last week, and while I was watching it, I was like, Todd Gurley doesn't score on that play.
Yep.
And that's why I think Brian Hill is someone that you should stash. I don't know if they're ever going to give him the true number one role, but it's becoming more of a it's becoming a closer timeshare. I think it was 14-8 in terms of the carries that they got this week. So it's closing in. And if something were to happen to Gurley where he were to miss any time, which is, well, it's definitely possible. Brian Hill, someone that we would be talking about on the waiver wire show that you should be adding. So why not just stick him on your roster at the chance that he might turn into someone?
Yeah, I like that also as a stash. That's why I wanted to ask about it. And I would prefer him to someone like Harris because it's very difficult for me to see anybody on the Patriots.
Real quick, I want to say this about Damian Harris is that let's pretend for a second that Damian Harris is activated and he's active on game day and Sony Michel is deactivated. Would you guys feel differently about him? Like, would you guys want to start him in a league?
I still wouldn't want to start him.
Correct. That's okay. Exactly. It's like, no, there's no way I want to start. There's no way I mean, because I assume Burkhead is going to be active. White, we hope, of course, comes back soon. Mm-hmm. And there's a goal line back on the Patriots, and his name is Cam Newton. So it's just really not something where I want to go near. That's why Harris.
The reason I'm asking is because Harris, if he is active, he doesn't play special teams. So that's why last year people are like, oh, he was inactive for so many games. Yep. And if he doesn't play special teams, that means if he is active, he's going to have a role. But you guys are probably right in this one in terms of just like avoid Patriots running backs if all possible.
Yeah. To be clear, all Patriots running backs ahead of Frank Gore. So just put that out there. Okay. Wide receivers. Let's start with you, Yates. Who's your number one wide receiver pickup this week?
Guys, it's Justin Jefferson. And for context here, I loved Justin Jefferson coming out of college. Tags can attest to that. Like, I absolutely love Justin Jefferson, had him rated above CeeDee Lamb. Like, I'm all in with Jefferson. The reason why I wasn't recommending him as like a late round sleeper or anything heading into draft season was that he was third on this depth chart for some reason. That they had put Olabisi Johnson ahead of him on the depth chart. He wasn't getting the snaps to start, and then he exploded yesterday and showed the talent that I think, you know, warranted him being ranked above CeeDee Lamb and Jalen Reagor in my pre-draft rankings. So looking at Jefferson, and now you look at this offense needs someone else outside of Adam Thielen and Dalvin Cook to step up. Like, they absolutely need someone else. And the Vikings ended up running more plays yesterday than they had previously the first two games. So that is enticing moving forward. I think that Jefferson, and this is part of it too, Jefferson going up against Houston, Detroit, and Atlanta, I believe, over the next three matchups. Like, those are
Seattle, not Detroit.
Excuse me. Yep. So, like, those are three really, really enticing matchups that I think you can roll out Justin Jefferson as a flex based on what you saw.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about him last night, an incredibly impressive performance. Tags, is he number one for you?
He's not number one. Him and Brandon Ayuk are very, very close in mind.
Yep.
Because there's definitely some pros and cons that I could say about both players. And I will say that I think Brandon Ayuk is the toughest player for me to rank on the waiver wire this week because I just don't. he's the number one receiver there right now, but you have George Kittle who's going to come back. You have a backup quarterback taking the reins for another couple weeks. You have Deebo Samuel who might come back in week five. You have a run first team. I just don't know how much I can trust Brandon Ayuk. At the same time, Justin Jefferson is not the number one on his team. He's never going to be unless Adam Thielen is hurt. This matchup this week against Houston is a good matchup, and it's one that I would prefer over Brandon Ayuk. So if you're looking for a 1 week rental player, I would definitely say it's Jefferson. I was just literally doing research for that game, and that game has a total of 51.5, which is massive. Texans, their opponents are averaging, I think, 72 plays per game. So the Vikings should get up there in plays. I expect it to be a Dalvin Cook game, but as Yates mentioned, Olabisi Johnson is now seemingly fourth on the depth chart. He's fallen behind Chad Beebe. So Justin Jefferson should be a lock. You know, if this team is running, you know, what the plays that they typically do, you know, around 60 to 65 plays, we should see Justin Jefferson getting, you know, 5 to 7 targets per game. And that's worthwhile in fantasy. However, I don't have him as my number one because I think that goes to Alshon Jeffrey.
Yep.
Because the Eagles desperately need him back on the field. He practiced in a limited fashion last week. They obviously ruled him out. But if he does come back, this is a guy who walks back and he's a safety blanket for Carson Wentz. And I understand it's not sexy to play Alshon Jeffrey and nobody wants to say it or anything like that, but he is a guy when on the field, he produces.
Okay. So out of curiosity, do you know Philadelphia's upcoming schedule tag off the top of your head?
I mean, I know they're playing San Francisco this week.
That follows up with Pittsburgh, which is followed up with Baltimore. So, yeah.
Yikes.
By the way, we'll talk about it. You know, we talked about it last night, but can you drop Carson Wentz? I have a firm opinion on that. But that is my one worry with Jeffrey coming back, because I still think this week is a little bit of a long shot. He returned to limited practice for the first time last week.
Yeah.
It's a Lisfranc injury. We have absolutely no idea what happens with those. They're the most notoriously unpredictable injuries that you can have. With that said, he's my number one guy too. And I do want to make it clear, and I think we're all, Yates, I'll get to you in a second on how you view Alshon Jeffrey. And actually, I guess we haven't heard about Ayuk from you either. But for me, Jeffrey, Ayuk, Justin Jefferson, they're all right there. Those are the clear three guys, I think, that if you need a wide receiver, you're looking to pick up. And again, Jeffrey may not be back this week. He certainly is up in the air. So if you have to make your waiver pickups on Monday or even on Tuesday, you may not have enough information to do. You should also push your fab deadline to Wednesday nights, by the way, just a pro tip. But if that's the case, there's a lot of uncertainty with Jeffrey. So if you are not strong at wide receiver now, or if you need somebody this week, Jeffrey may not be your guy there. I do slightly prefer Ayuk, although Yates, I think you brought up great points and we mentioned it last night. Jefferson's big game happened when the Minnesota offense looked so much better. And that's sort of a, oh, look at this. Perhaps this is something we need to be looking into. And he's got a great matchup coming up. So I guess, Yates, talk to me about Brandon Ayuk and then talk to me about Alshon Jeffrey and where they slot in. Then we'll talk what percentage of our fab we're willing to give up.
Sure. So just with Jefferson too, like Tags mentioned, he's the number two behind Adam Thielen. Well, it's different than other offenses because the tight ends are not involved in this offense. Dalvin Cook's barely involved as a receiver out of the backfield too. So Jefferson is the number, he's the number three option in the overall offense. So that's the difference there. With Brandon Ayuk, guys, I have him at 11. I don't really want to touch him because...
Hold on. 11 overall or 11 at wide receiver? 11th
wide receiver.
Whoa.
Like, why? I do not want to touch Brandon Ayuk. And this is because a lot of the factors that Tag said, like, this is a run-first offense. The matchup that they just had was perfect for Brandon Ayuk to explode with the ground game working as well as it did. Then you have the question marks of, is Jimmy Garoppolo coming back? Is Nick Mullins? Guys, if Nick Mullins is starting at quarterback next week against the Philadelphia Eagles defense, I'm not expecting good things from this offense. Like, I'm just not. And then you have Darius Slay. Now going to just say, okay, I'll lock down Brandon Ayuk, a rookie wide receiver who I thought was raw coming out. I'm not expecting big things from Ayuk moving forward. And then George Kittle going to come back. Deebo Samuel is going to come back. Like, all the targets in a run first offense are suddenly just going to disappear for Brandon Ayuk. So I think this was the one game that we can say Ayuk hit his ceiling. I just don't see a ceiling moving forward.
All right, I'm tossing it to you, Tags, but I do want to make a general commentary on this podcast. This is something that I absolutely love about the dynamic that we have. I'm like uber conservative with how I rank. I'm just like very vanilla. I take into account a lot of factors.
Yep.
Tags is diving deep. Yates, you are always bold, and I love it. And I think that adds so much value to everything that we talk about, because you have your takes, you back them up strongly. I mean, mm-hmm. I love, you know, people loved our T.Y. Hilton, you know, yelling match that we had on Friday, but you back them up and you have reason for your opinion, and it is good. It adds value, I think, when you have these differing opinions like this. With that said, Tags, please go take Yates down. Go ahead.
I'm not going to take him down. I like listening to this stuff. I mean, I think that's why I like doing this show with you guys. Like, you, as you mentioned, Yates is like the more one willing to stand out on a limb and say T.Y. Hilton is outside of his top 50 wide receivers in the draft rankings. That's worked out so far. Yep. And then he, like, obviously saying Justin Jefferson's his number one wide receiver. I actually agree with what he, a lot of what he said about Jefferson, and I was having difficulty ranking those guys. So if you want to tell me you're going to take Jefferson over Ayuk, I have no issue with that. I love the fact that, Dan, you brought up the future schedule for Alshon Jeffrey. Had I known that he was placing the Steelers and the Ravens over the two following weeks, I would say anybody who picks him up is actually going to drop him during that period, so you don't need to pick him up. Yes, I mean, that's why I think we do this show, and I think that's why none of us have any issue giving the other person crap. So I appreciate you guys and the fact that you look forward, because, like, as you guys know, I'm on a week-to-week basis in terms of, like, writing the primer. I never look ahead in the schedule, and that's one of the things that I look forward to learn from you, Dan. So I appreciate the insight, and I might move Justin Jefferson up to my number one wide receiver this week.
Okay, but you're not doing what I want you to do, which is to take Yates down on ranking Brandon Ayuk 11.
Go take Yates down, and he spends the entire like 2 minutes complimenting me.
That's a bit like outlandish for my take. Now I want to know the players that you have ahead of Brandon Ayuk, because you could tell me that you're like, okay, I'll take Jefferson, I'll Alshon Jeffrey, I'll take T. Higgins, but are you really going to pick up Curtis Samuel over Brandon Ayuk? You're really going to take Scotty Miller or Cole Beasley?
Yeah, so that's the point. So looking at this, all these guys pass like my top 10 overall is kind of where I focus in, because that's where the majority of people are going to be looking as far as their waiver wire rankings. And then after that, I'm kind of just like, throw them into a, you know, giant bowl in a tier, and I really don't care which one pops out, right? Like, so with Ayuk at 11, like, yes, looking at it, I should probably move him above Curtis Samuel, because I just don't see it with Curtis Samuel. So yeah, I should probably move him above. But as far as much more than that, like Scotty Miller.
I want to know who else. Scotty Miller?
Scotty Miller, and listen, stop. Okay,
here we go. No. So, and I've got your back. I've got your back here, Yates. Go ahead.
So if Chris Godwin misses time, Scotty Miller becomes an intriguing option, even though the matchup next week sucks.
Terrible.
It's a terrible matchup for Scotty Miller. Totally get it. But he's getting targeted deep downfield. He's getting utilized in this offense. Mike Evans, 2 targets, 2 yards, 2 touchdowns last week. Like, he's not seeing the targets. So, like, I just don't think that we can ignore what Scotty Miller's doing. We can't ignore what Cole Beasley's doing. Like, everyone just wants to hate on Cole Beasley, but this offense in Buffalo is insane right now. It's cooking.
Also, John Brown got injured. I mean, we don't know how serious
exactly,
it is.
Exactly. But, yeah, exactly. John Brown potentially out. Like, and we haven't even talked about Gabriel Davis, who I'm not necessarily looking at. Again, put him in a bowl. whichever one pops up, I don't really care. But, like, with Cole Beasley, 100 yards last week, guys. We can't ignore that. So
Cole Beasley's a bye week guy for sure. Like, you could plug him in during bye weeks and get a decent, like, 9-point PPR floor. I'm fine with that. But right now, are you adding bye week options, though?
No, because Cole Beasley, though, I think next week against Las Vegas, Josh Allen could throw easily over 300 yards yet again. And if John Brown is out, then Cole Beasley becomes an intriguing. I'm trying to look at this with the perspective of these teams that are dealing with wide receiver injuries. Mm-hmm. Let's say that you have T.Y. Hilton and you want to drop him because he's not good anymore. Then you can say, like, I need an option to fill in.
Dropping T.Y. Hilton for Cole Beasley.
I can go in and I can pick up this guy who is now producing and has a role. So, like, guys, I have Greg Ward at 6. Because he saw 11 targets last week. Dallas Goedert likely going to miss time with an ankle injury. Alshon Jeffrey likely not coming back this next week. They're going to need Greg Ward, and it's a fine matchup for him. So I'm fine rolling out Greg Ward over Brandon Ayuk.
Okay. So I do want to say this. Waiver wire rankings to me right now are not on a week-to-week basis. But if you do want to go that route, I would say Cole Beasley should be moved up. I mean, arguably into the top 5 waiver wire wide receivers, because yes, he is producing. If John Brown is nicked up and Josh Allen's playing out of his freaking mind, all those things go into play, but he's never going to be a league winner. Like, Cole Beasley was really good last year. Nobody ever wanted to admit it. I literally used that guy every week during bye weeks, and it was fantastic. He gave me a fantastic floor, and he was what he was. I never expected him to win me fantasy leagues. Whereas, like, grabbing guys like Ayuk, who could potentially turn into that number one receiver, like, we saw him used like Deebo Samuel last week. We saw him being used out of the backfield. He is the number one receiver. When George Kittle comes back, defenses are not going to say, hey, we have to stop Brandon Ayuk. That's not really a thing. And rookie wide receivers, this was really his second game in the National Football League. And we've seen wide receivers like Justin Jefferson, even like Jerry Jeudy to a certain extent, where these players are taking a little bit of time because they had no preseason. Even AJ Green and Rob Gronkowski, guys that have been in the league, taking these first couple weeks and like literally just getting accustomed to like getting their legs underneath them. So I do believe that Brandon Ayuk has higher upside. But if you're looking for an option this week, I'm probably going to rank Cole Beasley ahead of Brandon Ayuk this week because Ayuk is playing against Philly, which means he's going to see Darius Slay quite a bit, and Cole Beasley is going against the Raiders. So, I mean, I guess it just depends on what you want off the waiver wire. I'm just not into the bye weeks just yet mentally.
Exactly. I think that's the different philosophy. Really quick, Dan, I'll just say this and then I'll
No. Like, so don't go quick. Say as much as you want. Go ahead.
That's the difference in philosophy here as far as like our rankings of waiver wire. And I go more week to week because I think that like based on the injuries specifically this year, like people are going to need these options right away. And I think that Cole Beasley, we need to look at him more than just what he's been in the past if this offense is going to be cooking as much as it is. Yeah. And so I think that he is someone who, yes, I agree that he's not going to be a league winner, but yet Brandon Ayuk in this offense, even if he is the number one wide receiver, he's not the number one receiver. It's George Kittle when he's healthy. So I don't think that in a run-heavy offense, Brandon Ayuk is suddenly going to turn into a league winner. So that's the balance. All these guys are really close, like, and it all depends on what you need. So ranking them is pretty difficult. But yeah, I look at it more from a week-to-week perspective, and I guess that's where you're at, Tags, where you look more long-term as far as who could be a league winner for you.
Yeah, and Dan, where would you... So, like, to be the mediator here, just to say, if you're looking at it and you're not going to start any of these wide receivers, you're just looking for a waiver wire pickup to put on your bench and your whatever, would you grab Cole Beasley or are you going to take an upside play like a T. Higgins or Laviska Shenault?
Yeah, I would take T. Higgins or Laviska Shenault. I have Shenault 7th, Higgins 8th, Beasley 10th. So it's not crazy. I don't go crazy with it. But this is a perfect... First of all, great arguments on both sides. Great arguments. I am the owner's box, one of our sponsors. I'm the owner's box of the waiver wire, okay? Because some people like the season-long look. Some people like the daily look. And others go in between for the weekly sort of thing. And I'm in between in that when I'm looking at running backs, I almost always value the immediate need above the long-term need. And I basically said that. A guy like... That's why I like Mike Davis. Mike Davis, assuming that Christian McCaffrey does come back in 4 weeks, has little long-term value. He's probably going to be useless for the second half of the season. I don't care. That was a guy who I was willing to spend significant fab on because I know I'm going to be able to roll him out there each week. But with wide receivers, I almost always view it differently just because I think wide receiver is pretty deep. We mentioned Scotty Miller. He's almost certainly a guy, even with a tough matchup, that you can probably get away with starting next week, assuming that Godwin is out. Tre'Quan Smith is a guy. We don't know whether or not Michael Thomas is going to be there, but he's getting targets enough that you can think about rolling him out. Curtis Samuel gets involved. Shenault, for whatever reason, was not as involved as he should have been on Thursday night, but he probably will be going forward. T. Higgins got a ton of targets and I think saw the most snaps of any Bengals wide receiver. There are a lot of guys out there. Cole Beasley. You can find guys who you can throw in there for a wide receiver. So for me, I take more of a long-term outlook. That's why I still have Jeffrey ranked highest, because I do think Jeffrey is going to be, tough matchups aside, long-term, he is a guy who you are going to roll out there each and every week, so long as he's healthy, with very little thought to it. And for me, Brandon Ayuk, by the way, splits the baby a little bit. What I love about Ayuk is that they got him involved in every way they could possibly get him involved. Remember, he scored a touchdown yesterday. Wasn't a receiving touchdown. It was a rushing touchdown. 3 carries for 31 yards and a touchdown. I think they know what they have in Ayuk. Deebo Samuel is not coming back this week. We know that, right? He basically is looking at week 5. I think they know what they have. I think they need to get him involved with all the injuries, and I think he is going to be involved. So both short-term and long-term, Ayuk is sort of my play for me. Other than that, though, Tags, I do generally look long-term. So we've all now spoke for like 10 minutes each on how we view all of these things. Let me put a number on it. Tags, have you moved Jeffrey now, given that schedule, off your number one wide receiver?
Yeah, I mean, he's right. It's like a 1A, 1B situation for me.
What is the fab percentage you're willing to spend on, let's say, the top three guys we've talked about, Jeffrey, Ayuk?
8 to 10.
On max on all of them?
Yeah, 8 to 10.
How about you, Yates? What about your top couple of guys?
I'll spend 15 on Justin Jefferson. And then probably about 10 to 15 on Keelan Cole, who I have at second.
Cole is your second.
Mm-hmm, even if...
Man, we didn't even get there. I'm sorry. Go ahead,
Yates. Yeah, no. Talk to me about Keelan Cole. Just with Keelan Cole, super quick, like, I just think that he's still... too involved in this offense to ignore. And I'm not expecting weekly what we saw from Gardner Minshew last week. I just think that was a super off game. Like, he's going to bounce back. And I think that even if DJ Chark does come back into the lineup, it's not going to be enough to affect Keelan Cole. So I'm going with Cole at second, and then Alshon Jeffrey at three, but he's like 10% there. T. Higgins is an intriguing one, but it balances out. Like, how do you want to look at it? T. Higgins, I have at four, excuse me. So like, it all depends on how you want to look at it. Is he more of a long-term play, or is he someone that you can roll out this week against Jacksonville? It's a great lineup or a great matchup, but then he gets Baltimore the week after that. So yeah, he's like a 10 to 15% for me too.
Okay, so for me, I'm willing to go basically 15% on Jeffrey. Jeffrey is a guy, again, who I feel like in a few weeks, the schedule is terrible coming up. So it is something where I'm like, oh no. But if he is healthy, he's probably somebody who you're going to be a borderline starter for you in fantasy leagues if he's 100% healthy, even with those matchups. And he's a guy who in the second half of the season could legitimately be a wide receiver too, if he's fully healthy. And Carson Wentz desperately, if he's still the quarterback, desperately needs somebody to throw the ball to. After that, Ayuk and Jefferson, both 12%. I think you can get away, well, so a little bit less. Not a weekend to go crazy necessarily with these guys. All right, before we keep going, guys, look, erectile dysfunction, it's not something that guys like to talk about or admit they suffer from. You make up an excuse. I'm tired. I'm feeling a little under the weather. I'm stressed about fantasy football. That is fine. But telling yourself or your significant other those things doesn't actually do anything to solve the problem. You know what does something to solve the problem? Actually doing something to try to solve the problem. And that is why there is Roman. You can work with an actual healthcare professional who can prescribe real medication. It is simple. It is safe. It is discreet. It is exactly what you want when you're dealing with ED. You get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home, working with a healthcare professional to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman is going to ship it to you with free 2-day shipping. There's no need to make excuses anymore. You can get treatment safely and discreetly. Just go to GetRoman.com/FantasyPros to complete an online visit. If you are approved, you're going to get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That's GetRoman.com/FantasyPros. GetRoman.com/FantasyPros. Okay, so tags. After those guys, who's your fourth and fifth pickup? Because I think we've talked about the top three, right?
Yeah.
Jeffrey, Ayuk, and Jefferson,
yeah.
Right?
And fourth is Keelan Cole. DJ Chark, by the way, is undergoing more tests today on his chest.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, I saw that pop up on Twitter today, and it made me wonder if there's a bigger issue going on with him that we really don't know about, because they've called it chest and back injuries. We don't have much to go off of there, but they were saying he was undergoing more testing on Monday, which makes me worried about the fact that he might not be available again this week.
Yeah, that's actually going to factor in big time for me, because I was assuming, since he was trending up right before the Thursday night game, that this was just it's Thursday, we don't have enough time.
That's what I thought.
If he's seriously hurt, that changes, Cole. Yeah, go ahead,
Tim. Yeah, so I mean, it's definitely something we got to pay attention to as waiver wires approach. But I did have him at four. I had T. Higgins at five, LaVisca Chenault at six, and then I had Cole Beasley at seven. So it really just comes down to, like, my rankings are based on if you don't need a wide receiver right now, you just want to throw someone on your bench with better long-term value. But again, if as Yates said, if you need someone to produce this week, I think Cole Beasley would be a better start than someone like T. Higgins going against Jacksonville. Because Jacksonville, again, I just started researching that game. I think they've only seen 46 wide receiver targets through three games. So teams haven't thrown the ball a whole lot. They haven't needed to. And even though T. Higgins has 15 targets over the last 2 weeks, we can't forget that Joe Burrow has thrown the ball 105 times in those games. So it's like the target share is under 15%. So it's not like it's massive that it's like, oh, you have to play him every single week. He's trending up for sure. And if something were to happen to AJ Green, T. Higgins is going to become an every week fantasy play. But it's more of like, that's why I prefer him over a Cole Beasley, just because I think that he has higher upside long term, especially if you're just stashing him on your bench.
I will mention one final thing before we go to quarterbacks, which is if you are in our Fantasy Pros League with our kids, where we set up a league for our kids, our old dog who died a couple of years ago was named Beasley. So you can expect my son to use his waiver claim on Cole Beasley. And so if you want him, you better go get him. Tell your kids that. Okay, let's go to quarterback here. Let's go back to you, Tags, for your first one. Are there any quarterbacks? Who's your top quarterback off waivers this week?
Oh, this one's tough because I haven't been able to go through the games just yet. It's between Kirk Cousins and Ryan Fitzpatrick. If you want to go back to week seven of last year, and like basically that's when Ryan Tannehill, and I found this stat going back to look for something on Ryan Tannehill. If you go back to when he took over as a starter, which was in week seven of last year, Ryan Fitzpatrick, I think, has scored the third most fantasy points among quarterbacks since that time. And I don't think anybody ever wants to play Ryan Fitzpatrick, but going against Seattle, you don't run the ball against Seattle. No teams have been able to. I mean, Ezekiel Elliott last week winds up with 58 total yards. Terrible. Like that team is now allowed, I think it might be up to 10 wide receivers through 3 weeks that have finished his top 36 PPR plays. So Ryan Fitzpatrick is definitely on the streaming radar. I'm digging into this Kirk Cousins game right now. I do believe it's a Dalvin Cook game, but it makes me feel better to know that the Texans have faced 72 plays per game. Teams haven't thrown the ball a whole lot against them. As a matter of fact, teams have called passing plays against them just 47% of the time, which is the lowest in the NFL. So this kind of matches up with what the Vikings want to do with a run-first offense. But the game has a 51.5 point over-under, which typically bodes well for fantasy players. So I'm torn between Fitzpatrick and Cousins right now, but I think I might lean Fitzpatrick. I don't know.
Okay. How about you, Yates?
I'll go Cousins and then Fitzpatrick, but it's a 1A, 1B situation. I'm fine with either one of them. Tags made my arguments. That was well said.
Sorry to be a downer, but I'm exactly the same. I mean, I have Cousins legitimately like 21st. Also, when you look at my overall waiver wire rank, I mean, quarterbacks are always low just because I don't know. There are like 18 guys you can stream every week. I don't really care. It's like, ooh, I need Kirk Cousins necessarily. But Kirk Cousins is 21st and Ryan Fitzpatrick is 22nd. So they are legitimately right there next to each other. No Foles for you guys? You're not named the starting quarterback? Not going after him? Indianapolis? No?
Not yet.
Okay. Fine. Well, far be it for me to drum up any controversy with tight end. Yates, who's your top tight end waiver wire pickup?
It's Eric Ebron. And this is because, like, if you are desperate for a tight end, and I think you can roll out Eric Ebron, involved in the red zone, saw that red zone target, was able to make a really nice catch in the back of the end zone from Roethlisberger. And I think the reason why he saw seven targets last week was because Deontay Johnson left the game with his potential concussion. So we just don't know at this point his status for next week. So if you're looking for a tight end, you really, really need an option. I think you can go with Eric Ebron and he can produce for you if Johnson misses. If Johnson somehow comes back from this, you know, passes concussion protocol, then I'll be more hesitant. But as of right now, I'm fine with rolling out Eric Ebron.
Seven targets, five catches, 52 yards, and a touchdown for Ebron. They made a point to get him the ball. How about you, Tags? Is Ebron your number one?
He's my number two. I actually wrote in the primer last week that Ebron had run 55 pass routes through 2 weeks, which was top 20 tight ends in football. And I had said, Ebron is someone to watch as the weeks go on because it shouldn't surprise you if he has a big game with the number of pass routes he's running. But save that for a week that they're expected to throw the ball a whole lot. I didn't expect them to throw the ball a whole lot against Houston, so I didn't play him as a streamer. But this doesn't surprise me. You know, he's someone that can be added, but there's just so many weapons there. I would prefer to wait, and I don't think that he's an every week tight end that you could just plug and play. I think one player that could potentially be that guy is Mo Alie-Cox. I think they let the genie out of the bottle, and I don't think they could put him back in. Jack Doyle he's just a guy. That's the definition of Jack Doyle. He's fine as a tight end. He stays in to block. He's a three down tight end, but he's not a guy that's going to get a whole lot done in the passing game. And knowing that Paris Campbell is out for the season, essentially, I'm just going to assume that Paris Campbell's not going to play again this season.
I think that's fair.
T.Y. Hilton, clearly not looking like the player of old. Zach Pascal is whatever. Michael Pittman can't stay on the field. He's always hurt. Mo Alie-Cox has played fantastic. And I know he only saw three targets, but he turned them into production this week in a game where Rivers, what did he throw the ball, 21 times? So it's not like he could have racked up a whole bunch of targets anyway. But Rivers has always loved his tight ends, and Mo Alie-Cox is the most athletic one he's seen in quite some time. So I would take my chances on him being a potential every week starter over Ebron, who is going to have some splash weeks for sure, but I just don't want to rely on him every week.
Three analysts, three different opinions on who your top tight end should be off the waiver wire.
Are you going to say Jimmy Graham?
No, I'm not going to say Jimmy Graham. Okay. I'm going to say Logan Thomas, who's still owned in 25%.
Dude, no.
No.
Here's, okay.
Against Baltimore?
Okay.
No. Well, hold on. Let's make it clear. If you need somebody to start this week, Logan Thomas is not your man. Okay? You are not starting Logan Thomas this week against Baltimore. And again, this is just what I do. Running backs this week. If you need to stream somebody this week, yeah, I would agree that both Ebron, number two for me, and Mo Alie-Cox, number three for me, probably even Jimmy Graham, number four for me. But for long term, Thomas just continues to get the crazy targets.
Bad targets. I understand.
They're bad targets 100% of the time.
It's like Chris Herndon. Are you excited about Chris Herndon?
There was a report this morning. There was a report this morning about that Rivera was basically like, I don't really know if we can do that. Like, I don't know exactly what he said.
He said we can't put our players through that anymore.
we can't do this. I mean, this is just horrific quarterback play. And I think that if you replace him with whoever, I mean, I don't.
Is Alex Smith even?
Alex Smith?
Yeah. No, I don't think he's going to play.
Kyle Allen, then I assume. Ugh. But either way, we are talking about Dwayne Haskins.
I know. You know it's all bad.
Become a Jets fan, and then you can look at other options, which are like, boy, those options are disgusting. But when you're a Jets fan, you're like, oh my God, this is amazing. These are the best players I've ever seen.
They should trade for Mitch.
No, stop it. Okay. when you've got Dwayne Haskins and you see him going, you're like, all right, I'll take Kyle Allen. If you're going to give this guy 7 to 9 targets a week, I think also, to be clear, they're all way low on my pickup rankings. I'm not buying into the Mo Alie-Cox thing. I'm just not. He played, you know, slightly more snaps than Doyle here, and maybe he will continue necessarily, but I do think that they were easing Doyle in a little bit. Although you've made a good point that Mo Alie-Cox does, you know, the genie may be out of the bottle a little bit because he is playing well. And Eric Ebron, again, I think it was a lot of it, although they made a point to try to get him the ball, was mostly Deontay Johnson right. being out. And it's a concussion. He may be back. I think when he's back, there just aren't enough targets there for Ebron to really factor in. I will make it clear. Those are my top three. It is very, very minor. But Logan Thomas, the guy, they're terrible targets.
But real quick, Dan, are you picking up Chris Herndon?
No.
Well, he's getting targets. They're bad.
He's not getting as many targets as Logan Thomas. He's not getting as many targets as Logan Thomas,
the,
right?
The New England just came out.
I'm going to go out and surf and
get some
I'm
going to
go park my car. Yeah, I'll watch the game over at a bar and have it. It'll be great. That Logan Thomas, again, he's getting like 7-8 targets a game. And at some point, if they do make the switch, I think those are, look, let's make it as clear as possible. My official recommendation as to who to pick up at tight end is nobody.
It's to start
okay?
a fire.
You start a fire. Tight end.
Leave your tight end spot empty. Just don't
play
with it.
Yes, correct. All right. You know what? I've been beaten down too much. Let's go to our top 5 waiver wire pickups of the week. Let's start with you, Yates.
Overall, I have Carlos Hyde at number 1, Justin Jefferson at number 2, Jeff Wilson at number 3, Keelan Cole at 4, and then Alshon Jeffrey at 5.
All right. How about you, Tags?
All right. I have it Carlos Hyde number 1, Jeff Wilson number 2, and then the next 3 are all bunched together. It's Justin Jefferson, Alshon Jeffrey, and Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah, Tags, we have the same top 5 exactly, but they're all bunched together. I still have Wilson number 1 and Hyde number 2, but it is 1A and 1B. And as we have been talking about it, I will admit that I'm like, Hyde's probably the better pick for the short term. So he'll probably move to number 1 for me. And again, I have them both at 20%. And then I have Alshon Jeffrey, Brandon Ayuk, and Justin Jefferson through our top 5. So we're pretty aligned there just with a little bit of a different option. We talked about QB guys coming in, but are there any other QB streamers that you like? We talked about Cousins, probably Fitzpatrick. They're probably the best two that are widely available. Anybody else on your radar, Tags?
Could we consider Deshaun Watson a streamer?
Probably not. My guess is he's rostered in too many leagues.
I am totally kidding. That was a joke. But he hasn't finished as a top 10 quarterback through 3 weeks. But no.
They've had, I don't know who made the schedule. They hated Houston.
It was not great. I mean, in Minnesota was supposed to be good, but they're not. So, I mean, this could be the breakout week for Deshaun Watson, even though Minnesota, fun fact, this is before your research starts. Since the start of 2019, the Vikings have played 19 games, obviously. They've allowed exactly 10 fantasy points on the ground to quarterbacks. That's it. 10.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good stat. You've got a stat for that. I like it, Tags. Well done. No. How about you, Yates? Anybody who might actually be available in fantasy leagues? Who you can think about?
His name is Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, wow. Wait. Yeah.
Who?
Yeah. What? Yeah, exactly.
Go ahead. No, he's playing tonight. You can pick him up.
Kirk Cousins is really the only one that I'm considering, but I'm not expecting anything. Like, he'll probably be at like QB 15 in my rankings. Like, I'm not super, super excited. Fitzpatrick has a chance to finish within the top 12 based on passing volume, because he's going to need to throw the ball. But I'm not super excited about him either.
Can I ask you guys, because somebody who is still available, not in as many leagues as Cousins or Fitzpatrick, but it is Jared Goff. He's available in a lot of leagues. Would you prefer him against the Giants versus somebody like Cousins or Fitzpatrick, or would you still rather stream one of those guys?
No, I'd
Cousins.
Be fine.
Or no, I mean Goff.
Yeah, I'd be You'd fine go playing Goff,
right?
Yeah, he's actually playing pretty well this year.
Yeah, he is. And, you know, part of the thing we talked about on our Betting Pros NFL podcast is I really think a big part of it is the fact that there are no fans, because I do think that McVay is just in his ear and it's fine and he plays better on the road. So I like what they've been doing over there in Los Angeles. Tough game to lose yesterday. But I agree, if he is available, because I was looking at the roster percentages before we started going, and he's available in like 40% of leagues. So if he is, I think he's the guy who go ahead and stream. How about DST? There is one answer to the stream the DST this week. And if you don't give it to me, I am signing off of this podcast. Go ahead, Yates.
There are two.
No, there's one.
There's one.
There's only one.
There's one.
It's the same one every week, because it's whoever you're playing a certain team.
The Broncos defense has been decimated by injuries.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
But they're playing the Jets.
Correct. On Thursday night.
Can we skip this Thursday night game?
No.
Legitimately, can
everyone, all of our listeners must share in my misery and understand that by virtue of being born in Queens, okay, to like a diehard Jets family, I am forced by blood to not only watch this team every time they play, but be like very heavily invested in how they perform. Imagine that for the entire 40 years of my life. Add on then that I am a Mets fan. Add on then that I am a Knicks fan. And then you have why I am the way that I am.
Wow.
Thank you. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
We've got Denver.
Even with the injuries, they have to be the number one.
Here's the thing. So
right?
We're recording this Monday afternoon. So like we've got the Chiefs and Ravens tonight. Like I'll hit like 11 o'clock or maybe 10:30. Because I have a 2-year-old, I'm just exhausted all the time. So I fall asleep and I'll wake up early, watch the rest of the game on Game Pass. I'm staying up. Tonight, I'm staying up to watch this game because I am like needing my actual good football fix so to carry me through to next Sunday, because this game on Thursday. No, the Broncos defense is a defense that you can stream. They're under 40% rostered in Yahoo leagues. The other one that I am like, this feels super gross, but I think you can actually roll out the Jets defense if you are desperate.
Okay.
Because you're looking at Denver. Is it how do you even say his last name?
Rippon. Yeah, Mark Rippon's son. Oh, he was a quarterback.
Well, someone said it's his nephew. I got bad information. It's his nephew or his son. One or the other.
All right. Okay, we should probably check that. Just to be clear, my entire basis for calling him his son was Tags telling me before we started.
Dan told me it was his son, by the way.
This is a bald
right now. This
go
is
ahead.
The Spider-Man meme. Just you two pointing at each other. Guys, there's actually a possibility. And I'm really, really just rooting for this for the entertainment factor that we see Blake Bortles at quarterback for the Denver Broncos.
Actually, just to be clear, a rare serious moment. I did hear that he's probably still going to be inactive for that game because he's not going to be up to speed yet from the beat writer.
Well, that's what I thought. I'm rooting that he gets.
That
up
is
to speed.
Very for the entertainment value. I agree.
I would absolutely love that.
I don't think that's a terrible call because the Bucs defense is a little underrated anyway, but if you watch that game, you were just like, oh God, this is terrible. With that said, it's clearly Denver over the Jets. Tags, anybody else other than the very clear answer, which is
Denver? Well, it's Denver, but they lost another part of their defense too. Jarrell Casey now out. Yeah. And it's like, this defense is like, whoo, it's so bad. I mean, but it's the Jets.
It's the Jets. They'll run.
Adam Gase get fired after this game?
Yes. Yeah, actually.
They're actually looking they're actually already looking at coaching candidates.
Yeah. It's after the Thursday game. Just doesn't make any sense to do before the Thursday game. Have the Thursday game, give them an extra week, and then go. We'll have a whole separate podcast, by the way, on my thoughts on Sam Darnold, which we were kind of talking about a little bit. But there
I
are
feel
a lot of thoughts.
So
okay.
bad for him.
Yeah. I do too. That's why everybody's like, "What do you want to do when you inevitably get the number one pick?" And I'm like, "Man, he hasn't gotten a fair shake." Well, I don't really know even yet what to make of him. Regardless, nobody cares. Drop or keep. Let's go there. This is the fringe-worthy guys who might be droppable, might be keepable. I will start, Yates, with you very quickly on a couple of guys that Tags and I mentioned last night.
T.Y. Are you Hilton. Dropping Carson? Drop.
No, you wouldn't, would you?
I need to get T.Y. Hilton on this podcast. T.Y. Hilton, I am your biggest fan. Get on this podcast. Okay. Dropping or keeping Carson Wentz, Yates?
I'd drop him.
Mm-hmm. That is correct. Dropping or keeping Marvin Jones?
Me or Tags?
You. Tags and I discussed this all last
night.
Oh, sorry.
Dropping or keeping Marvin Jones? Keeping him.
Yeah. I think Tags,
we were borderline. We were saying it depends on for who. Depends on how deep the league is.
Right.
Yeah, it is tough. I know the answer to this one for you. Yeah, it's drop or keep Evan Ingram. Answer is never should have drafted
him. Never should have drafted him. Yep.
Got it. Okay. All right, let's go to actual drop or keep. We'll start with you, Tags. You don't need any analysis, but I know you guys will throw in a little bit anyway. Maybe. If you want. Drop or keep Tags, DeAndre Swift.
Hold, I guess. Oh, God, I feel so gross saying it, but I'm going to hold.
All right, Yates, drop or keep.
He saw six snaps.
I think that's what it was. I didn't see the official number, but I think it was like six snaps he played.
Yeah, I drop him if you need a running back. If you need Carlos Hyde, drop him.
Yeah, that's the right answer. Hold if you can, but if you're in any sort of roster crunch, just drop. Yates, drop or keep any Giants running back.
Drop him.
Tags.
I'm going to keep Devonta Freeman. He was not caught up in the playbook. It's clear that Deion Lewis is not going to get that workload, and he's still a starting running back. Remember James Robinson? Yep. Nobody was really excited about it, where it was like, we don't want to do that. And then I'm not saying Devonta Freeman is going to win you a fantasy league, but in a league where guys are starting Jeff Wilson and Jerick McKinnon in 10-team leagues, it's crazy. But we're there, so I say hold Devonta Freeman.
That's fair. That comes with a caveat. Yeah, it depends on who, but Wayne Gallman and Deion Lewis should never have been added.
Yeah, that's fine. And I will say that you probably shouldn't even have bothered picking up Devonta Freeman, so you can feel free to drop him. That is the Harris official stance. let's go to Tex. Oh, you know what? This one doesn't count. I wrote this last night, and then he wound up having a good game. Start a drop or keep Drew Brees, Tex.
I mean, he's a streamer. I guess you keep him. I mean, they're playing against Detroit this week. I think they're going to run the ball over Detroit, but...
Yeah. Yeah, it's...
He's in that same territory, streaming option. I'm fine dropping him if there's a better option.
Yeah, it's start... drop or keep Leonard Fournette.
Drop him at this point. I don't want to deal with this backfield.
Tags.
I'd keep him.
Yeah, I'd hold him too, but I completely agree with you, Yates. I bought in. We talked about it.
Oh,
Tags.
I did.
Remember
too.
On
I
our
bit.
Start?
I bit.
Oh, I totally bit. Start, sit, show. Tags was like, why is the community at 25th on Leonard Fournette?
I'm like 17.
I have 17th. I was like, I don't think I ranked him 17th, but all of a sudden done, but I was 100% like right around 20. And I was like, yeah, sure. And then just avoid. But I would hold him if you could, just, you know, if there's an injury to Ronald Jones or if he eventually just runs with it, that's fine. Tags, drop or keep Jarvis Landry?
Keep, I guess.
Yates.
Keep him. The Browns only threw the ball. They've thrown the ball 23 times the past 2 weeks.
Yeah, they're not. They don't want to throw the ball.
Right.
I know.
That's not an anomaly.
That's not going to happen normally because they're going up against. Who did they play? Washington and who did they play 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, they played Cincinnati and
Thank
Washington.
You. So, like, those are
You're
two.
Those are two.
Those aren't two great teams. So they're gonna get in these matchups where they're gonna have to throw the ball more. Jarvis Landry's a fine wide receiver three.
Okay, my official stance on Jarvis Landry is do whatever you want. Jarvis Landry's not going to win or lose your fantasy league. I don't care. You can drop him. If somebody dropped Jarvis Landry, I'm not like, oh my God, I've got to go get him.
Dan, you gave me so much crap on Friday with the Will Fuller. You're like, do you start Will Fuller? I was like, I don't know. And Dan was like, this is your job. So you
okay,
say, this is your job to tell
different.
People. You're saying, do whatever you want.
That's different. Start, sit, man, drop or keep, whatever. It doesn't matter. Fine. You need my official recommendation. Keep Jarvis Landry. That's fine. Okay, Yates, special for you. Drop or keep T.Y. Hilton.
Drop him.
You're keeping him. Keep
no,
him.
You're keeping not. Him. All right. We're not. We've got, you know, seven more podcasts this week. Tune in. Follow us on YouTube.com for all of our podcasts. There are a lot this week. We'll talk about T.Y. Hilton on most of them. Tags, drop or keep Henry Ruggs.
Keep Brian Edwards is hurt now too. I'll keep him.
Okay, Yates.
I'll keep him too.
Yeah, I'm keeping him in this scenario. I'm not. If somebody dropped him, I wouldn't, you know, be too mad about it. But I'm still keeping him. Yates, drop or keep your boy Latavius Murray.
Keep him. I expect he saw the majority of the carries and it wasn't close in that game. Alvin Kamara was just he went beast mode through the air. So literally beast mode had a beast mode run. Yeah. So I think. Looking at Latavius Murray and Tag said against Detroit, they're going to try to run the ball and they're going to be successful. Latavius Murray was picking up chunk gains in that game too. So I'm fine. Keeping Murray.
Yep.
Tags.
He has one less carry than Kamara on the season. I think they want it to be a Mark Ingram type split with him. So I'll keep. And once Drew Brees starts playing better, which hopefully happens because I don't want to see him go out like this, it'll present more scoring opportunities too.
Tags, drop or keep Cam Akers.
Keep just because of the offense he plays for. He's basically like a high-end handcuff is what he is.
Yates.
I don't think you can drop him, but he's lost all of his, like, you know, appeal.
Momentum.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to go drop, guys. I think that you don't have to. Don't spite drop him. But if you are in a roster crunch and you drop Cam Akers, I think it's fine. Daryl Henderson looks really, really good. Mm-hmm. Basically, he's a handcuff at this point. And even if something happened to Henderson, you've still got to compete with Malcolm Brown. So at this point, I'm okay to drop Akers. Let's finish with you, Yates. Last one. Drop or keep Brandon Cooks.
I'm fine keeping him. I just think, again, you talked about the matchups with Houston, that these have been brutal for him. So, moving forward, I expect the schedule to lighten up at least and him to get more involved in this offense. Watson to bounce back. They're still developing chemistry. I'm fine holding on to him, but if you need to drop him for a better option, I'm not opposed to it.
Tags.
Yep, keep. Better days ahead.
Yep, I agree. You just look at their schedule just to be, you know, they played KC, Baltimore, Pittsburgh. They've got Minnesota, Jacksonville, Tennessee, Green Bay, Jacksonville, Cleveland. They've got some matchups you can exploit. So I agree. Keep them there. All right, that is going to do it for today's show. Thanks to Owner's Box. Remember, the new wave of fantasy sports is finally here. Be the first to try weekly fantasy sports. Go to ownersbox.com/fantasypros. Sign up for their exclusive beta right now. Each user who signs up is going to receive 100 Owner's Bucks that can be used to enter contests risk-free and is going to convert to cash when real money contests begin. Again, that's ownersbox.com/fantasypros. Thanks also to Roman. Guys, if you struggle with erectile dysfunction, do something about it. Go to getroman.com/fantasypros. Talk to a healthcare professional discreetly and from the comfort of your own home. Again, that's getroman.com/fantasypros. We will be back tomorrow with another episode. I'll talk to you then.
A chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Ready, set, griddle this grilling season. Get the Weber Slate Rust Resistant Griddle with a carbon steel cooktop that's safe for metal tools. It's pre-seasoned and ready to cook on right out of the box. It's the griddle that stays ready, not rusty. This griddle heats evenly edge to edge. It reaches up to 500 degrees. The Weber Works Prep cook and store system keeps cooking supplies handy, and you can carry all the food, condiments, and utensils you need. Get fired up for your new Weber Slate Rust Resistant.